We are almost done with this series. Next week will be the last one, but this series is all about discovering the building blocks that help make up the calling in our lives. So the calling that we've been talking about here is the one that answers that age-old question that we, at some point or another in our lives, will ask, why am I here? What am I doing on this earth? What is my purpose? What is my, you know, and what one of the things we talked about when we began this is that your calling is much deeper than your purpose. Your calling is that thing that God placed on your life, that you have a reason to be here on this earth and to do for Him. And next week, like I said, water baptisms, we specifically did this so that they will be the culmination of this series. And like Kim said, it's never too late. We did a class yesterday for those that signed up. We have 9 or 10 people already signed up. If you still want to get water baptized, you can even raise your hand next Sunday morning and get baptized. It's never too late. So looking forward to next Sunday. That's going to be exciting. And then on October 17th, we're starting a new series, which I'm pretty excited. Of course, I'm excited about it. But it's about the goodness of God, and it's based on Psalm 23. I mean, even if you're not a believer in Jesus, you've heard of Psalm 23. So I'm pretty excited about that one. And then if you'd like to get up to speed with this series here, you can go on our website, on our Facebook page. They're all up there. So this week, we are looking at what we're calling the fourth building block in discovering what our calling in life is. And these building blocks, they kind of have a sequence. And so today, what we're going to be looking at is the fact that we are all called to bless. We're all called to be a blessing to others. That's what we're called to do. Well, how do we do that? You know, I work at a job where people drive me crazy. I have people around me that are just, my life is, I don't feel like blessing anybody. Can somebody bless me? We're all called to be a blessing. We bless people by serving them. There are 100 different ways throughout our daily routine that we can bless people. Sometimes all it takes is a smile, maybe a cup of coffee. Have you ever had that last minute thing to pay for the person behind you in the drive-thru? That's a blessing. But a passage that we looked at when we started this very series out that was kind of the groundwork for this series is in Ephesians chapter 2, and it says this: for we are God's masterpiece. He created us anew in Christ Jesus so we can do the good things He planned for us long ago. As I was working on these notes here, I was like, you know what? You're always referring to this verse right here, Chip. Lots of you may hear me say that, and you're going to continue to hear me say that, because I think a lot of people don't have it settled in their hearts that they are God's masterpiece, right? We look in the mirror, we see all the flaws, we see all the things we don't like. We know who we are behind closed doors, and maybe we don't like it. Maybe we wish we were a different person. But God says, you are who I created you to be. Those mannerisms you have, the characteristics about you, the way you walk, the way you talk, the things you do, I put those in you. I created you like this, and you are a masterpiece in my eyes. Remember, we do have an enemy out there that wants you to see all the flaws, and God says those aren't flaws. Those are character traits. So we can do the good things that He planned long ago. Remember, well before we were formed in the womb, God had plans for us. And those good things would be serving others. That's a good thing. Blessing those around us, because we are called to be a blessing by doing good things. It doesn't matter if you're a teacher, a doctor, a janitor, a lawyer, a truck driver, a mechanic, retired. It doesn't matter what you do in life. If you are a follower of Jesus, Your role in life is to serve others and serve God. You'll see that when you walk into our building. We have that, serve God and serve others. That's our motto. That's who we are. You might not know this, but it took an entire church staff of people hours to come up with that. We had the whiteboard. Remember that, Pastor Dave? We're like, well, let's do love God, you know. But you know what? You can love God and love others. There's nothing wrong with that. But we wanted to go a little deeper. We wanted some significant meaning to be behind that. Because you know why? It takes being intentional to serve. We serve God because of what he has done for us, so we should serve others as well. Colossians chapter 3 says this: whatever you do or say, do it as a representative of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks through him to God the Father. Whatever you do or say, do it as a representative of the Lord Jesus. Some versions say, whatever you do, do it as unto the Lord. See, we serve God, ultimately. Mundane tasks should now become meaningful tasks. Everything we do needs to be a blessing. Everything we do now is significant. I remember a few years ago, we had a young man in a church, and he got his new job, and it was the first job he got, and he was a go-getter anyways. He was working really hard, and I'd ask him about his job. Oh, yeah, it's going great. And next week, going great. And a couple months later, it's okay. It's a job. I'm like, okay. And then one day he says, hey, Chip, what do you do when it seems like you're the only one doing all the work? And I was like, ah, welcome to the real world. So nobody around you is carrying their weight, are they? And I quoted this verse to him. I said, it doesn't matter. See, you're a follower of Jesus. So you have to rise above everybody else. Because you're not working for your manager. You're not working for the store owner. You're not working for the foreman, the boss man. You're working for God, ultimately. So whatever you do it as a representative of Jesus. And you give thanks to God for everything that you have and everything you're doing. And in doing so, your manager will take notice because God will highlight you to them. And even if that doesn't work out like that, who cares? God will take notice and you will be blessed for it. And you know what? His whole attitude flipped after that. A couple weeks later, he's like, yeah, I'm doing it all. But that kind of attitude is contagious because other people see that and they want to work with you. That's how the Holy Spirit works. That's how God works. See, when you step up and you do something that nobody else wants to do, or, you know, you're at work and there's that thing that's been there, you know, for weeks and nobody's picked it up. Just pick it up, throw it away, take care of it. Do at work what nobody else is doing, because here's what happens. Your employer will take notice and you'll be blessed for it. God will take notice and you will be blessed for it. And we don't do it for the recognition, right? That's the wrong attitude. We do it out of the attitude of a servant's heart. Because as a follower of Jesus, that is what we're supposed to do. We are called to bless. See, when each one of us decided to put our trust in Jesus, at that moment, we were called to serve. We were called to be a servant. Called to make a difference in the lives around us. And just so you know, it's not me speaking this, let's take a look at Galatians chapter 5, verse 13. Just this one verse here. For you have been called to live in freedom, my brothers and sisters, but don't use your freedom to satisfy your sinful nature. Instead, use your freedom to serve one another in love. See, the Apostle Paul wrote this to the church in Galatia, and most of them were Jewish people who were becoming believers of Jesus. And the Jewish people, they lived under what is called the law from the Old Testament, do this, don't do that. Adhere to all these restrictions, and you'll be a good person, and the priest will bless you, and on your way you'll go. But there was a lot of, tension in that, because now they have this freedom in Christ. And Paul was saying, don't use your freedom to do the things you know you ought not be doing. Use your freedom to serve one another in love. That's what we are supposed to do. Serve others. See, society, the world, they got it wrong. It's all mixed up. All the ads you see, all the promotions you see for this, that, or the other, for yourself. Society tells you that if you want to find true happiness in life and you want to be happy and successful, you need to focus on yourself. Now, I agree that there are times we may need to do that. There are periods in our lives where things happen, life happens, and maybe we do need to focus on ourselves. But as a whole, focusing on ourselves is not how we will find true happiness, because true happiness, true joy in life comes when the focus is changed from it's all about me to it's all about serving. It's all about being a blessing. Doesn't it feel good to make somebody's day? I mean, it just feels good, right? You see, God wired us in a way that when we give our lives away, when we give of ourselves, that's when the joy flows from the throne room of heaven into our lives, and then we have more to pour out. That feeling that you have when you bless somebody, that's joy from heaven that is being displaced in your heart. That's the Holy Spirit saying, you recognized what I wanted you to do, and you did it. And I'm happy about that. See, last week, remember, we looked at that we are called to become like Jesus. We are to emulate Jesus. We are to mirror his character. We are to mirror his image. We are to be like him. Well, Jesus gave it all, right? He gave his very life so that we could have life. Have you noticed how these building blocks in this series have kind of gone? Like, the first one was, we are called to be loved. When we first come to Jesus, God says, I just want to love on you. Just let me love you. Let me teach you. Let me help you. Let me minister to you. And then the second one was called to belong. So now I love you. Now let me help you find a church family to belong to. You're in the family of Christ. You're in the body of Christ. You're in my kingdom. Let's find a church family for you. And that's what's so great about all the different churches around town, is that they're all trying to be like this one. That's what is so great about all the different churches and denominations. There's something out there for everyone. You might visit us and be like, oh, I don't know about, and then so I'm going to try out another one. Well, God bless that. At least you're trying to find a church family that suits your needs and fits who you are so that you can get plugged in and you can find a place where you belong. All right? So we're called to be loved. God pours his love into us, and then he says, let me help you find a church family that you can belong to. And then once you do that, let me help you become more like me, more like my son, more like Jesus. And then once that starts happening, then you are called to bless. See? So it flows down from God into you. He helps you find where you're supposed to be, and then you start pouring yourself out. See that? That's how it works. That's how the life of a follower of Jesus is supposed to be. And then just to give you a little, next week it's called to be sent. So that's just a little teaser. But let's look at, so I've got, since you're all here today, you get this one for free. I got two secrets, keys, to help you find true happiness and true joy in life. There's only two that are free today. The first one is, stop focusing on yourself. Stop focusing on yourself. Your life may not be where you want it to be. Well, you're not the only one. Most people go through life and they're like, I really wish I was over here. Your life may not be where you want it to be. But the more you focus on yourself, the more miserable you're going to become. The more you see things that you don't like about yourself, the more you start comparing where everybody else is around you, and you say, I want to be where they're at. But you're so focused on where you're stuck that you're not willing to do anything about it. You're just comparing yourself. I think it was Paul Dionne that said years ago in a sermon, how come we always compare ourselves to people who are doing better than us? We never compare ourselves. That stuck with me. We never compare ourselves to the person that's not doing as well as we are. So if that's you, my encouragement would be this. When you see that person with a sign that says, I need money, I'll work for food, I'll do this, I'll do that, think to yourself, I'm driving in my car and I have a place to go home tonight. Stop comparing yourself to where you want to be and just start focusing on what God wants you to do. See, when we shift our focus from the inward to the outward, it's no longer all about me. It now becomes all about God and serving others. And when we start focusing on God, our problems become smaller because He starts taking care of them. It's supernatural. It's just how it works. But you got to trust. You have to trust that He has your best interest in mind. And the more we give our lives away to help others, the more joy flows from our Creator into us. It's how we were designed. It's how He created us. It's a fact. And again, we'll read a little passage that kind of confirms that from the book of Philippians, chapter 2. Verse 13. For God is working in you, giving you the desire and the power to do what pleases Him. Do everything without complaining and arguing, so that no one can criticize you. Live clean, innocent lives as children of God, shining like bright lights in a world full of crooked and perverse people. Hold firmly to the word of life, then on the day of Christ's return. Now, I find this interesting because this is Paul writing to the church, but then he shifts the focus to himself. I will be proud that I did not run the race in vain and that my work was not useless, but I will rejoice even if I lose my life, pouring it out like a liquid offering to God, just like your faithful service is an offering to God, and I want all of you to share that joy. Yes, you should rejoice, and I will share your joy. Remember last week we were talking about how to become like Jesus. The analogy that the Bible uses a lot, that Paul uses, is that we're in a race. We're running a race. Life is a race. And that's what Paul's saying here. Listen, when Jesus comes back, I'm going to be happy that I didn't run this race in vain. I didn't do it for nothing. I did it for you guys. I did it for the church in Philippi. Just like your faithful service is an offering to God. See, when we serve out of our faithfulness to Jesus, that's an offering. We are offering our lives to Him. You notice how Paul is connecting service to joy. There's joy in that. Our faithful service is an actual offering to God, and we will receive joy when we do that. It is God Himself who gives us the desire and the power to do what pleases Him. Well, what is it that pleases Him? It's when we look out for those around us. When we don't complain, when we don't argue, when we live clean and innocent lives and we take care of everybody around us, when we notice what's happening with our coworker who's having a bad day, when we notice that our neighbor doesn't seem to be, you know, it seems a little out of sorts, and we say, how are you doing? Be the blessing to those around you. And in doing so, we will share in the joy of the Lord. There's a story in Matthew chapter 25 where Jesus talks about this very thing. And he says, you know, I was hungry and you fed me. I was thirsty and you gave me something to drink. I was in prison and you visited me. I was naked and you clothed me. And they're like, we didn't know that was you. We had no idea. And he goes, ah. He finishes it up by saying, whatever you do to the least of these, you do to me. See, mankind is the most cherished of all of God's creation. And how we treat each other, Jesus says, that is how you treat me. So think about, just humor me for a minute. Think about your interactions with people this past week. And then put Jesus' face in some of those instances. Because Jesus said, whatever you do to the lowest person on earth, even down here, the youngest, the poorest, whatever you do, you're doing it to me. See, Jesus identifies with that person holding, even if they are addicted beyond belief to drugs, or life just hit them so hard they have nothing else to do but to hold a sign and ask for money. That is the person Jesus identifies more than the one who's driving in the brand new Corvette. Even though we want to be in that Corvette. There's nothing wrong with that either, as long as your heart's in the right place. Philippians chapter 2, a little bit before this passage here. Don't look out only for your own interests, but take interest in others too. You must have the same attitude that Christ Jesus did. See? We have to look out for the interests of those around us. Again, Jesus gave everything for the salvation of mankind. It is Jesus and Jesus alone that can bring healing physically, mentally, spiritually to our bodies, and he is the only one who can offer the forgiveness of our sins for our eternal salvation in heaven. Only him. Church, we must be looking out for those around us. We can't go through life saying, that's not my problem. Oh, they got themselves into that mess, they can get themselves out of it. We have to be there for people. Because here's what it does. It brings the gospel of restoration to life. That's what the horizontal part of the cross is. That is us looking out for those around us. That's the gospel that restores human beings. It builds bridges. You know what else it does? It creates diversity, because you no longer see people the way the world might see them. You see them as a person made in the image of God. It builds bridges, it creates diversity, it breaks down walls, it brings people into families, and it restores lives back to their Creator. And that's what it's all about. So that's the first secret to having joy. Stop focusing on yourself. Number two, use your gifts to serve others. There's two secrets, only two today. Stop focusing on yourself and use your gifts to serve others. When we use the gifts that God gave us, it just feels good. When you do it out of a pure heart, out of an innocent viewpoint, it feels good. And again, just so you know, it's not me telling you this. 1 Peter chapter 4, verse 10. God has given each of you a gift from his great variety of spiritual gifts. So for those of you that just said to yourselves, I don't have anything. Well, you do. You just got to dig it out. Figure it out. Use them well to, what is the last three words? Serve one another. I want to read a little bit further here. Do you have the gift of speaking? Then speak as though God himself were speaking through you. Do you have the gift of helping others? Do it with all the strength and energy that God supplies. Then everything you do will bring glory to God through Jesus Christ. You see, when you serve others as a follower of Jesus, and you do it as if you are serving Jesus himself, God takes notice, and the gospel of restoration begins to well up inside of them, and the Holy Spirit begins to speak to them, and they might even ask you, where do you go to church? That's what it's all about. See, God blesses us with specific gifts. We're all this giant puzzle piece in here in this church and in other churches out there that God puts together so that we can make the family that he wants here in this church. And these gifts are to be used to serve others. We are called to serve with the gifts God gives us. And it's a blessing when we do. It will also, when we do this, help the relationships around us. See, our relationships get better when we learn how to serve. But before we get into that, how about this? When you're at work or you're at school or whatever, how do you want people to talk about you when you leave the room? Man, they are so helpful. I can't believe they just did that for me. Or, oh my gosh, they just walked past that box of books and I've got three more in my hand. They always do that. Serve others. When we learn how to serve, how do you learn how to serve? You got to be intentional. You have to look. You have to listen. You have to observe what's happening around you. You have to listen to the Holy Spirit. Should I help this person or not? Well, if you're asking, should I help them? Then you should. Help them. Give them a hand. See, when you start looking for ways to serve, you will find all kinds of ways. And then when we see an opportunity to bless someone, to help someone, do it. With no strings attached either. But I'm going to warn you, serving isn't always easy. You may have to serve somebody you don't like. You may have to serve somebody who was just mean to you in a meeting a couple days ago. It may interrupt your schedule. That's the one that always gets me. Oh, man, I got such a busy day. But you know what? When you carve out that time to help somebody, what happens? God gives you an extra hour to relax. Yes, yeah. Was that meme I just saw? Really? Don't ever underestimate the power of a nap and a snack. A cup of coffee. That's right, Laverne. You're going to get interrupted when it comes to serving. Your schedule, the plans you have. But we must be willing to move when the Holy Spirit prompts us to move. That's how we serve. You want to be happy in life? You want to have that real joy that you're seeing in everybody else? Serve. Last week we talked about how to become more like Jesus. Do you know something that Jesus said in Mark chapter 10? He is the King of Kings. He said, I came not to be served, but to serve. If we are to become like him, we are to serve. When we take on the attitude of Jesus, we are no longer looking out for ourselves and what we can get out of a situation. We will be looking out for those around us and what we can give so that others can be blessed. Have you ever noticed that oftentimes, and a lot more when we're younger, when we get older, we just kind of have this, I don't really don't care, kind of, you know, because we know it doesn't really matter. We've been there. But when you go through life, oftentimes you want to be loved. You want to be loved by others. You want others to be interested in you. You want others to like you. You want others to take notice of you. And where do those wants usually get you? Nowhere. Because if you don't think anybody sees you now, they're not going to see you when you're wanting them to see you. Here's what I believe God wants us to know. These are my words, but I believe I'm the messenger for the Holy Spirit. Listen, I want you to notice what's going on around you. I want you to love others. I want you to be interested in others, to take notice of others, to be a blessing. And by doing so, I will take care of all your needs and then some, says the Lord. I believe that with all my heart. And then just to throw in a biblical principle, Proverbs 11 says, the generous prosper. Those who refresh others will themselves be refreshed. So whenever I read prosper in the Bible, the last thing on my mind is money. It's life. When you're full of joy, real joy from heaven, you are living a prosperous life. Things are good. And then when you go through life refreshing others, that's service. You yourself will be refreshed. It's a biblical principle that when done out of a pure heart will come into effect in your life. That's what it says. Those who refresh others will themselves be refreshed. Listen, the most giving people that I know are the most blessed. The most giving people that I know are the happiest. And they are usually the most successful in life as well. People don't become successful if they're not giving. I mean, they can, but they don't have that true happiness. And the reason that I know this and I believe this, not only because I've seen it, but because God's blessing will pour out on those who give of themselves. God will refresh them because they've been refreshing others. So I'll bring it home with this. I'm going to tie 1 Corinthians chapter 15 into the ending here. Always work enthusiastically for the Lord, for you know that nothing you do for the Lord is ever useless. Everything you do for Jesus is a seed planted. Everything. When we're in Brazil for the mission trip, all they talk about is planting seeds. We're going to go here, we're going to deliver some water filters, and we're just going to plant seeds, and we'll come back later and maybe plant more or water them some. Everything you do for the Lord is never useless. And the only way to find true joy and fulfillment in life is to give of ourselves. When we do it from a pure heart, when our motive is pure, and we do it enthusiastically for Jesus, it will not be a wasted effort. Everything we do in the name of Jesus, when it comes to serving, has a purpose, and God has a plan. And I believe that purpose is twofold. It has an earthly purpose here in this life, and it has an eternal purpose in heaven. I'm a firm believer that what we do here on this earth as followers of Jesus determines what we're going to do in heaven. A great way, here's my plug, ready? A great way to start serving others is to get involved in your local church. You know what the easiest thing to do is? Be a greeter. Be an usher. Work at the cafe, children's ministry, sound room. These things interest you? Sign up today. There's no, listen, You know what? People come here on Sunday mornings and they've got the weight of the world on their shoulders from all kinds of stuff, and they're coming here because they want to hear from God, and you can be that smiling face that melts all of that away, and they can come in here and everything that was on their minds will be gone when they sit down. You can be that blessing. So when you give of yourself, the rewards are greater than expected. They're eternal. Amen?
Amen.
Well, let's pray. We'll move into a time of worship and then some ministry time. And I expect God to show up again. He's been showing up here recently, and I'm going to expect him to show up again today. So if you need something, talk to Jesus about it during worship. I believe worship drives all the opposition away so that a little bit of heaven will collide with our earthly realm. Amen? Let's pray. Lord God, I just thank you, Jesus. I thank you for this series and these building blocks that help make up our calling in life and how we can find true purpose, true meaning, true joy, and the fulfillment that we often are looking for. I thank you for that, God. And I ask, Lord Jesus, that as we move into a time of worship, that you would speak to us, God. That you would meet the needs, Lord Jesus, that we need met. Whether it's just a little touch from heaven, or whether it's something serious that's been weighing on our hearts, we expect you, Lord Jesus, to show up today. And we thank you for that. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen.